Coming up on this episode of the Venus Cuckoldress podcast.
There is a taboo and a charge around it. So there's power there. So I'm interested, Venus, in harnessing that. So I had a couple and they wanted to, I'll say, like, sit in ceremony with me and do some sex magic that was specifically interracial. They came out and then it was her cuck, myself, and her, and we're in a triangle, and in the center of it, you know, surrounded by candles, and in the center of it, we had the incense burning. And I went through a ceremony with them, and speaking of race play, like, she calls me Black God. That's what she calls me.
Okay.
Which is so fucking hot. You know, when people get married and then they renew their vows type thing?
Yeah.
She wanted to be married to the interracial lifestyle. And she wanted me to officiate that.
You are now listening to the Venus Cuckoldress podcast, a place to learn all things cuckolding for the curious, the passionate, and the sexually empowered woman who wants it all. Go to venuscuckoldress.com. You'll find the new Queen's Quarters fan destination. Book a one-to-one chat with me, listen to the private podcast, and even get access to my secret Snapchat group where I share some of my most intimate encounters. Now sit back, make yourself comfortable, and let's dive right into this episode. Welcome, everyone, to this show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Venus. This is the Venus Cuckoldress Podcast. Thanks for joining me today. Today, I have such a special episode. As I'm sure you heard in the trailer, it's epic. I have a very special guest, my friend Pagan. He is a race play enthusiast and the founder of the Four Horsemen. Yes, you'll learn what that is. And let me start out by saying that not all cuckolding couples enjoy interracial cuckolding. This is just one aspect of it. But for those of you who do enjoy interracial cuckolding, you are likely going to love this show today. Pagan shares a very sexy story of a sex magic ceremony he was a part of recently where they harnessed the power of BBC. And she, get this, married into the interracial lifestyle. Yes, this was an actual ceremony. It's like nothing I have ever heard before. This is really on a whole other level, and I think it's pretty fucking cool. Keep an eye out for an upcoming Pillow Talk event where I will have Pagan and the couple on to talk about all the further details of this event, this ceremony that they did, because there's so much more to it. There's so many juicy details that we didn't get into in the show today, but I can't wait to dive into that. So make sure you go to venuscuckoldress.com, check out the events page, and shortly there will be some information posted on there about the Pillow Talk event that will feature Pagan and this amazing couple. All right. Are you ready to jump into this episode today? I'm so ready. Let's do it. Here we go. All right. Joining me on the show today, I have my very good friend, Pagan. He is the founder of the Four Horsemen, and he's going to explain what that's all about. And he also describes himself as a practitioner of consensual, ethical race play as art. And yes, we are going to get into that. So welcome to the show, Pagan. Say hello to all of the listeners.
Hello, all of Venus's listeners. Hello, Venus. It's good to be back. How are you?
Great. I am wonderful. I'm so excited for this conversation. So for those of you listening, yes, Pagan has been on the show once before, and I think it was, I don't know, a couple years ago, maybe. And we talked about gangbangs. We talked about setting the mood. We talked about race play. So it was a great episode. And we're going to kind of dive into things a little bit more for this show today about the Bolt experience. So I'm super excited to be able to have this conversation. I will link the previous episode that you've been on the show. I'll link it in the show notes for today. So if you're interested in catching that, you can. Okay, Pagan. So tell us in a nutshell your personal story. How did you come to where you are today?
In a nutshell, I'm a preacher's kid. It hasn't been lost on me how many people that were raised in a hyper-religious environment end up freaky as people on your podcast. I think that may be where it starts in terms of when you put someone in a bottle, they want to break out of the bottle, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of led me to starting to question things, but it was really cloistered, hyper-religious environment. And then when I started to question things and look outside the box, there's this theory I have that we are who we are until the moment they smack you on your ass when you come out of your mother. Like, there's a you that is uninfluenced by the outside world. And then you get pulled out and smacked on the ass, and there's fluorescent lights, and somebody's cutting an umbilical cord, and they're saying you got to do this and that, and it starts right then. Mm-hmm. And it never ends until we stop it. So I stopped it at one point. I'm so lucky that I was able to just say, wait, I want to get off the train. And then I started to figure out what I wanted to do. And part of that was I've always been sexual. It's always been, I was a virgin when I got married at 22. That's how cloistered and religious it was. Wow. So, and I remember because my wife was more experienced than me. She was in my religion, but she had got kicked out for fucking. So that tells you a lot about the kind of guy I was. Like, I was already looking for, like, yeah, I want more. I don't want a virgin too. You know, yeah. Two of us can't be virgins in a room. But it was interesting because on our wedding night, she was like, okay, this isn't your first time. And it was, but I've always been attuned to sexuality. So anyway, that was kind of my journey. And then once I started to question things, I got married too young. There was nothing wrong with us. We weren't cheating or anything like that. But I just had to step away and say, like, I've got to figure out myself first. So I got divorced. And I also, and because of my religion, I had to leave the religion and I had to leave my wife and all my friends at the same time. Wow. So it just snapped my reality in half, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to say, it was all worth it because I got to that baby before I got smacked. And I asked myself, what do I think? What do I want? Not with society or religion or family or all three of them working together. What is my, for instance, moral values as opposed to what the religion says they are?
Yeah.
You know, what do I feel about gay people as opposed to what my religion taught me since I was a child to think about them?
Right.
You know, these kinds of questions, some people just never ask. So that led me into my first forays after I got divorced into the lifestyle. And I remember the first thing I did, Venus, was there was a woman who was in my small town on the East Coast, and she was doing like content. But this was back in the day before OnlyFans and all that. And so I went to a content party because, like most single guys, you go to the first thing someone invites you to. That's the thing. So I did that, and that's what led me to say, the first party I remember, I was in that room. It's a bunch of guys, one girl shooting content. I remember looking around going, okay, this guy's really cool. this guy is really cool. The rest of these guys, not so much. And I started, I didn't know them, but I was formulating the Four Horsemen at that time. So that can kind of lead us to that, I guess.
Yes. So that does lead us to the Four Horsemen. So I love the name. What exactly, what is the Four Horsemen?
So the Four Horsemen, and you're right. The reason why it's called the Four Horsemen is because, number one, it sounds fucking cool. The second thing is, though, I wanted the number to be small. I don't want people to think they can get me for 12 guys or, you know, giant gangbangs. There's crews out there that do that. That's great. More power to them. My thing is more quality over quantity. So four is like the maximum that I usually put together. And that's for a woman that can handle it. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, most women can't handle four of us. You know, like maybe the average guy, sure. But, you know, these are guys that are, that I've scoped out. And to answer your question, I'm doing the work of when a woman says, hey, I like you, do you have a friend? I'm doing the work of finding those guys ahead of time so I can immediately say, yeah. And you don't have to worry about, I found this guy on FetLife. I found this guy on, you know, AFF or whatever. I'm going to put them all in the same room. And I'm going to expect this to magically go well with people fucking who've just met and all their egos involved and all that. The chances that that's going to go as smoothly as it should for your optimum experience as a woman or a couple is highly unlikely. Yeah. I can bring my guys with me, and we've played in this sandbox before, so you can just relax. So that's the Four Horsemen.
So you have this group of vetted guys who, you know, you guys all just work well together in the bedroom.
Exactly. Just like on your report card in kindergarten, plays well with others.
Yes. Yes. So you're available for couples or single ladies, I'm assuming. And do they like do they book you, or is this like a service for hire, or what is this?
It is not for hire. You're not the first person that has admonished me that I should be, you know, doing this for some kind of monetary gain. I'm reticent to do that. And I'm not saying it wouldn't work, but, and you know more about this than I do, Venus. When something you love becomes something you get paid for, something has to change.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything to change. I like it the way it is. Where I come from, we call it, it's for the love, not the paycheck. And that's what I want to keep it. It's something I enjoy. And don't get me wrong, I put together a thing, a hotel suite. I live in, you know, Los Angeles now. And it's not cheap, you know. So when I put something together, I do ask people or the guys to contribute, because let's face it, I'm bringing them free pussy. So step up. But the general thing that I try to keep in mind, and this is just me, Venus, it's my worldview. I'm not going to ask the same of everybody. I'm in a position where I can figure out how to make this thing happen. And if a guy doesn't have as much money as the next guy, I still want him to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So there's been times when I'm just like, hey, man, just bring the water, like bring a case of water, you know, because that takes one thing off my plate and I'm not humping a case of water up to the room.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to include as opposed to exclude. So that's another thing about the money thing. So, you know, I'm for now, it's kind of a free service.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Can you believe it's been 4 years since I first started this podcast? And looking back, I had no idea that this would be my full-time job. I love the work that I do, and it's because of you, the listeners, and your support that I'm able to do this. So right now, if you join the Helpful Cuck tier, you get tons of benefits. My favorite ones are the private one-to-one chat every month. You also get access to my private Snapchat group. Weekly live hangouts with me on Crowdcast. I love those. And you get juicy bonus episodes. There's key holding. There's video replays of the Pillow Talk events, and there's also access to my private community on the Moan app. So join right now. You can use the promo code CUCKLOVE2024 for 15% off your Helpful Cuck membership at venuscuckoldress.com. And are these all like black bulls or?
Yes. Mixed?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just my brand. You know, there's bulls of every race.
Yeah.
But as we'll get into later, incorporating race into this dynamic, you know, it's not something I invented. If you look up cuckolding, you're going to notice a pattern.
just a little bit in there.
But I've leaned into that. I've leaned into like, that's the brand. Cause you know, let's be honest. If people are hitting me up 9 times out of 10, they're not just randomly blindly just saying, oh, a guy, I didn't look at the pictures. They're looking for a black male for whatever the reason. So I'm like, cool. I will provide that for you. And if you want others, again, there's guys out there that'll do that. Just not my brand. My niche is very, specific.
Yeah. Okay. Let's dive into it because I love this topic. I love it. It's also very controversial and
it's hard to get people to talk about it.
It is.
I would imagine for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, I hear you.
It was like what, 2-3 years ago, I started doing pillow talk events. And I remember like the minute I would bring up race play, it would be like fucking crickets. Like,
yes, yes.
Silence in the room.
Yeah. I mean, what the, yeah, it's 2023, Venus. I don't know. I mean, you can't talk about race openly and then you're mixing sex in with it. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You can't speak about it out loud. I mean, what are we doing? Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
but honestly, this is not something, I mean, yes, I think a sexual preference for black men, I mean, that's just something that happened to me naturally. I don't really think it was something that I was like, oh, I want to do that. Like, but so that there's been a preference there. But as far as like race play, okay, I would never have thought that I would be into that, like ever. Mm-hmm. And it's only because it was forced on me. And I like, that sounds bad, but it was dropped on me.
It sounds bad, but also hot as fuck. Go on.
Right. Cause like, I never would have consented to it beforehand. The use of the N word, I was like, there's no fucking way that is a hard no, never, ever, ever do I want to use that or have that used in the room or anything like fuck no. And my cuck boyfriend that I was with, I knew that shit turned him on and I never understood it. And I told him, I was like, no, there's no fucking way. And then this black bull that the first time I'd ever met him, he knew nothing about me or my boyfriend. And he fucking drops the N word in the middle of our fucking. And I was like, and my boyfriend's listening on the phone. And I was like, oh my God, and he's making me say it. And I was making me say it to my boyfriend. And I was just like, level 1,000 uncomfortable as fuck, but also oddly turned on.
Oh my God. Okay. Can I just say something?
Yes.
No one wants to hear what the fuck I'm talking about. Hearing you with that story is what everyone is here for. So, okay. Let me just ask you one question and then I'll answer all of you.
Okay.
You are a person, and this is something that I would send out to all the listeners. Venus, like many people, clearly is a person who looked at clouds from both sides. You were on one side of it saying, fuck no, this is offensive to me. And what that sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that was your real world politics.
Yeah.
That was Venus who goes out in the world, is like, I'm not using the N word. Like, what the fuck? That's offensive. That's wrong. No. And that was your real world politics. Now you're in a scene in a bedroom, right?
Yeah.
That's not the real world. When that door closes, that's your private space where all that kinky shit can come out. You know,
yes.
We know that people do some stuff in the bedroom or the dungeon or whatever that doesn't belong in the real world. And in fact, the real world informs what you find kinky in that space. The fact that you're, let's say you're a hyper feminist, right? And you're like, you know, I don't put up with, you know, any shit from a man. I take charge, blah, blah, blah. A lot of those women in the bedroom want to give up that power and be called slut and whore, whatever. Not in the real world. Are you kidding? She'll punch you in the face. But because she's that in the real world, it turns her on so much more in the bedroom.
Right.
So my question to you is, because you looked at it from both sides, and a lot of your listeners are on one side of the clouds right now, what the fuck? They're the old you, right?
Yes.
What would you tell them about how you were able to come to enjoy something that you thought, what did you say, like times 10,000 or whatever? Yes. No. What would you say to those listeners? And then I'll go back to not interviewing and be the interviewer.
Okay. I would definitely not recommend dropping this shit on somebody without consent, without talking about it beforehand. However, I would, like I said, I would not have been okay with it beforehand. But the fact that it was such a weird, crazy experience, because I was having this real fucking flood of emotions of like uncomfortable, but also so turned on in the moment because of my boyfriend's reaction. And I was just like, oh, damn, what have I opened here? And I remember the very first time that you and I started talking, and I think I said something about race play, and you were like, oh. Yes.
I don't remember that, but that fucking sounds like me. I don't remember, but it sounds like me.
And so I just feel like, you know, there has to be a lot of communication and consent. I mean, that is paramount. Sure. I would never fucking bring it. I never bring it up with a guy unless he brings it up to me, like ever.
Sure.
Ever. But you never really know what's going to turn you on. I mean, there's no fucking way I would have signed up for that. But I was just like, in the moment, wow, what the fuck did I just experience?
Yeah. And the one last thing, you said it was turning your boyfriend on and it turned you on.
Yes.
But outside of your boyfriend, Venus, did it turn you on?
Oh, I don't know if it would have.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that was like, I honestly don't know if, I think that was like the one part that for me made it like, okay, in that moment where I was like, okay.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
This is good for him. And then, but man, it turned me on so much that I was like, all right.
And now you don't need a cuck to enjoy it. You enjoy it on your own, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Now I'll go back to answer your question, but I know. Everybody wanted to hear your story. Okay. So what you just talked about was permission. I get it. If you're white in this world, you need permission from Black people. Okay. You know, we've all watched a comedy show or been at one where the racial joke comes up, and then certain people look at that group of people and make sure they're laughing first.
Right.
Because they don't feel permission to, because we're in a hypersensitive world. In 2023, sorry to be the old guy yelling at the kids on my lawn, but the world that we're in is progressed in so many great ways racially, but like humans do, we swing the pendulum so far that we're in a world where you can't even talk about race or bring it up usually. People are so reticent, especially if you're white. You're just like, fuck that. I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to be quiet.
Yeah.
And that's why you have crickets on those, you know, pillow talk.
Yeah.
People are, they have thoughts, but they're not going to express them publicly. I'm like, fuck all that noise. I don't give a fuck. This is something that we all think about. And if you hide it, that's fine, but it's still there. And I rather talk about this. So what you needed was permission. That bull didn't do it in the right way, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
But he got the right result.
Yes.
He gave you permission by starting it, and then you took it and ran with it. And now you enjoy it even more than you did before. So
yeah.
Yes, you should ask for permission first. you know, I can even talk to you about a thing that I did recently in a minute that elevated race play in my experience to a whole nother level. But I didn't start off by bringing the N-word into the fucking conversation right off the top like this guy. But I can find out if you like race play by just asking something that doesn't have, like, you know, something that's so charged in it, by just saying, asking you the question, like, do you like to worship blackness?
Uh-huh, okay.
That question. That tells me that you're into the racial aspect of it. And then those people, when they lean in, then I lean in more. And then they lean in, and then we're using maybe the N-word pretty soon.
Right.
But it all depends, and it caters to the person. You know, that's one thing that bulls have to remember. Don't have a preformed thing from your last experience or your last 1,000 experiences that you fully inform the next experience with. It should be partially informed by everything you learned, because that's called wisdom. But you shouldn't bring that with you and go, I know exactly what these next people. No, you don't. These next people are new people.
Yeah.
So make sure you leave that space to cater it to them. And that's when you talk about proper bull etiquette. That's the thing that that's like the golden rule, other than do no harm, which is the golden rule of the lifestyle, covers everything, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
If you just make sure you don't bring your baggage from the last thing, but just be informed by the last thing. So I do that. I cater it to that person. Some people are like, I don't want to use the N-word, but I like race play, you know?
Yeah.
So there's different versions of it. And that's the other thing, and forgive me, is one of the things we should maybe start out with is, what is race play, by the way? What are we talking about when we say race play? You know, like, there's people who will go to Splash Mocha, an event specifically catered for black males and couples who are usually not black, to meet for an entire weekend and fuck all through a hotel. Some of those people will say, I don't like race play. And I'm like, oh, don't you see your foot is already in the pool? You're at a racial event. It's not like, oh, it just happens to be all these black men. It is catered to that. But they don't associate that with race play. In their mind, using a racial epithet is race play.
Okay.
But the next person has another thing in their head. So race play, in my opinion, starts with, if you're interested in some kind of interracial thing, and then you have levels that go from there.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, did you know that there's a one-of-a-kind matchmaking service for cuckolding and female-led relationships? Venus Connections is a private service for single men and single women who want a loving cuckolding relationship. And now there's a new separate FLR program, too. There's no scrolling through profiles or sharing photos with members. It's totally private. And the dates are blind dates, too. Included in the program is a 3-week course and an interview with me. So join now at venusconnections.com and use the code TOPTIER2024 for 40% off the top 1% membership. That's venusconnections.com. Make 2024 the year that you get the relationship of your dreams. That's interesting, because I never thought, I never thought of race play as something other than using that kind of language in the bedroom. But I feel
you're
like
not wrong.
That is,
you're not wrong.
That is it. But there's also this, like, surrounding, you know, grayness of, you know.
Well, Venus, I'm trying to bring us all together. So whether you like it or you don't like it, right? Trust me, I've talked to many black people who are not into race play, and I get why, right?
Yeah.
I get why they don't want to go there. But I will say that if we can all just look at each other as we're on a spectrum, if you like interracial at all, there's a version of it where you can take a step back and not be so judgy about people that like race play and say, well, actually, I kind of like the color contrast, and I like, well, there's race involved there.
Yeah.
So join those people. Don't have to go all the way into race play, but don't feel like they're so different than you. Just be more open-minded. And then we can start to like not have crickets when we have conversations. So, because we're all in this together. We're way more alike. You know, what is that thing where like, you know, they use mice for testing because they're like 98% the same as human DNA?
Oh, you know, yeah,
we're mostly the same in this lifestyle. And so we don't have to point fingers and go, oh my God, that person's weird or doing something. No, they're not doing it. Again, there's only one rule: do no harm. Consensual, ethical race play is adults agreeing to play a scene in a room that they're not out there in the world playing any more than you get spanked or wear the diaper that you have in a dungeon out in the real world.
Right.
It's for that place.
Right. And I love that you say it that way. Okay, what's this juicy story that we need the details of? Because if you say it elevated your race play to another level, that in my mind means it's like something out of the stratosphere.
All right. Well, thanks for building it up so much. So I have to live up to that. it was in the stratosphere for me. So I've been interested recently. You know, I'm a reader and I've been looking into sex magic. Sometimes spelled old style M-A-G-I-C-K. And for some people, that's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Is that some Harry Potter shit? Like, what is sex magic? And I would define this. I'm not saying it's magic in that sense, or, you know, rabbit out of a hat. It's the power that intention can create. So, and this resonates with me because I do have a religious background. Whether something is real or not, I think a lot of times depends on us. And so when you put intention into something, it creates a power that I have found to be undeniable. And when it comes around race, you said something at the top of this conversation where you said, like, you were interested in Black men naturally.
Yes.
There is this undeniable magnetic attraction between, I would say for me, especially Black men and white women, especially in like North America. And I think it's true all over the world, but we have an interesting history, especially in America, racially, that has charged the situation between Black men and white women. Hmm. It is the reason why white men for centuries did everything in their power to separate us.
Right.
Under pain of death. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't that long ago where, like, my grandfather, if he looked at a white woman the wrong way, could die.
Right.
That's the world that we lived in. And you can't tell me that that isn't informing what we see today in terms of interracial sex interactions.
Right.
There is a taboo and a charge around it. So there's power there. So I'm interested in this and harnessing that. So I had a couple who's also interested in that subject. And they wanted to, I'll say, like, sit in ceremony with me and do some sex magic that was specifically interracial.
I need to know what this sex magic is.
So it is hard to describe. But the first session we did, I rented a space that's like a dungeon here in LA. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. It's all white. Your listeners might want to see it. It's called Dungeon East in Los Angeles. You should Google it and you get a picture of the space that it's happened in. So I have a British, valet cuck who sets up the space for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's on another level. You've met this guy.
I know him.
he's just on another level as a single cuck. He gets it. So I'm able to have him there to kind of be a butler, you know,
yeah.
A cuckler. So he set up a space where I had these like mats that we like kind of like yoga mats, but they were in a triangle. And then I had some items there that I've collected from around the world in my travels. that are, you know, everything from an incense burner to this like ceremonial knife that's not like sharp, that's used in like Tibet. All these things that have an intention for like ceremony. So at first, they came out, and then it was her cuck, myself, and her, and we're in a triangle, and in the center of it, you know, surrounded by candles, and in the center of it, we had the incense burning. And I went through a ceremony with them, and speaking of race play, like, she calls me Black God. That's what she calls me.
Okay.
Which is so fucking hot. and so that that started me thinking, like, what are our three roles? And I believe that the cuckoldress and the bull are like a sacred triangle.
Right.
They're three-sided. And if you deepen it, the best way I can describe it is you can turn a flat triangle into a pyramid. Now it has volume and space to fill in whatever we want. And we started to fill that space in that ceremony. So I went through with them who I see them as. Like in this particular case, to me, she was the wild woman in mythology, you know. In like, for instance, Hinduism, there's the wild woman who, like, she's typically depicted like her foot on a man's head and she's screaming and, you know, she has fire in one hand, you know, and she's just the inner part of a woman that gets pushed down by patriarchy today.
Right.
She's free. Right. And so on the cuck side, I felt like he was in mythology, there's this thing called Ouroboros. It's a snake that's eating its own tail. It's a circle. And to me, the cuck is such a valuable part of that triangle because he, for instance, in this case, was caged and he's not allowed to come until she lets him. And to me, that sexual energy that a cuck builds up, all of that seed that she's keeping until she releases it, he's a snake eating his own tail. He has to input his own seed as opposed to letting it go like the bull gets to, right?
Right.
So there's a charge that that cuck, and it's part of why cucks have that charge, why they're so heightened all the time.
Yeah.
So again, he's Ouroboros. And by the way, while this is happening, they're both wearing collars that I've made for them. His collar has like a ring on it for the leash, and it's an Ouroboros circle of a snake eating a tail. Like, I fucking went all out for this shit.
Oh my God.
So it was amazing. I'm not going to get into every single thing because we don't have the time right now, but that was the ceremony we did that night. And then I put her on a Sibian.
Oh.
For those who don't know,
oh.
It's basically, yes, it's it's what makes those sounds that Venus is making. You can look up a Sibian, but it's basically a saddle that has a vibrating component, and you can also attach dildos to it. So I walked her over to her throne, and I put her on it, and we started to begin our evening. And that, by that time I got her onto the Sibian, she was already there. And then we started our night together, the three of us in terms of play. But that was just the one part, for one night. The next night they had the idea that they wanted to have basically, you know, when people get married and then they renew their vows type thing.
Yeah.
She wanted to be married to the interracial lifestyle, and she wanted me to officiate that. So we did a ceremony that was amazing. I mean, Venus, they brought robes, like these amazing robes, like, you know, like you see, like with the hoods on them, you know?
Yeah.
But they were like really nice. Like, you didn't get these at, like, you know, Target. And I wore like a white one to represent her. She wore a black one to represent me and her cuck as well.
Wow.
And they wrote vows that I, you know, barely added anything to. Like, they wrote these to each other, giving herself to this fully, to be black owned, to be part of this interracial lifestyle. So I officiated that. And then we shared each other. So that is one of those things that heightened. It's something that I've been thinking about for a while. This is the first time I've ever done one of these. I'm going to get better as I go. But it was mind-blowing for all three of us. Like, we're still weeks later just like, what the fuck was that? That is magic. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, it's whatever you make it. It's whatever you believe and making it real in the world. And I got to say, Venus, we fucking made it real.
I'm kind of speechless. I don't even...
Me too.
Like... What? I am, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you asked me a few years ago, I would have said, what? You know, yeah. I get it. But there's no going back now. Like, again, you don't have to wear a robe and sit in ceremony, but you can have something where you initiate your marriage into another level as cuck and cuckoldress or stag and vixen or whatever your dynamic is.
Yeah.
You can, as a bull, say, I like this level of interracial interaction, but I don't want to go this far. That's fine. Build it with the people that are like you. My head and sexuality is cracked fucking open right now because I took this to this next level, but I have to give all honor to this couple who allowed me to take it there with them. So, you know, I can't wait till I see what tomorrow brings, but today I'm just like still in awe of what we created together.
Wow. Yeah. I'm in awe. I'm like, holy shit. That's epic. No wonder you said that it raised the level for you or went to the next level for you for,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
For race play. That's amazing. And I think maybe that'll become a thing, like an actual thing where people aspire to that. Like a lot of people aspire to that. Who knows? Cause the interracial cuckolding thing is a big thing. It is certainly not, you know, not every couple is into black bulls. Like we said, like you said earlier, they come in at all different races. It's mm-hmm. just, I talk a lot about it on this show because I happen to be into that aspect. So
yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah. But I think it's just fascinating that all the conversations that you and I have had about race play has been fascinating. Hearing about the ceremony has been fascinating. Your advice for bulls to, what did you say, to make sure that you don't use what you just experienced to have expectations for your next experience.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I think, really, really important. So for all of the wannabe bulls out there who are listening, or bulls or whatever, just make sure that that's something that you learn from Pagan. Very good advice. Treat each person as a unique experience.
Yeah, yeah. Be informed by your past experiences, of course, right?
Yeah.
But don't use it as a cookie cutter template for the next person. That guy that said the N-word to you right out the gate, he was doing that.
Yeah.
He was using a past experience on you and did not ask permission, you know, or do it properly. Luckily, you guys were cool as fuck, so it all worked out. But he shouldn't expect everybody to react that way.
Yeah, no. No.
So, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it's I guess, like, the big thing for me is, like, there's a full spectrum here. And I think that couples, and especially for white couples in America, probably around the world, but especially in America, we're living in such a place where you can't even talk about these things and your kinks that you would like to explore. And I would just say, like, I get that, but also feel like you can have an honest conversation with your bull and find the ones that are catering towards what you want. And I would also just say, if you can, be unapologetic about your sexuality. Everything that is racial is not racist. No matter what society is trying to say right now, at this moment, I try to have the macro view of things.
Yeah.
Right now, we're in a very heightened, I would say, ever since 2020 with George Floyd. And, you know, there were riots and there was protesting. We're in a very heightened area in terms of race and time. But if you pull back who knows what 10 years from now where we're going to be. I don't even think this is sustainable, this place we're in where you can't even talk about things.
Right.
So I'm trying to have the macro view and wait this thing out. And I think that keeping in mind that everything that's racial is not racist, you can talk about these things and you're not a racist. You can enjoy these things. And no matter how many people try to tell you, you're not a racist any more than you're, you know, violent because you like BDSM in the bedroom.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. We all know these are different spaces. So that nuance is what I would like to bring. So if you're looking for this, just know there's bulls out there. And if you don't find one, you know, hit up your boy Pagan.
Do you realize what you just did?
I do, Venus. I think I do, yeah.
Oh my gosh. RIP your DMs. It's gonna be crazy. Okay. There's so many more questions that I really want to ask you about. I feel like this is a conversation that needs to continue. So
is this part one, Venus? Is this just part one?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like I need to have you on Pillow Talk so we can jump into this even more. That'd be so great. Okay. Yeah. We have run out of time for our conversation today, unfortunately, but where can people reach out to learn more about you and the Four Horsemen?
Yeah, so you can find me at PaganNT4WM on Twitter, and also Pagan Black Bull on Twitter. And then also, I've recently started to use Instagram a little bit. So it's also Pagan Black Bull, I_am_pagan on Instagram.
Okay.
So those are the three that you can probably reach me at.
Wonderful. Well, I'm still on Instagram too. We haven't been kicked off yet, so that's great. I will include those links in the show notes for today. Pagan, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I absolutely love speaking with you.
It's always a pleasure, Venus. Anytime you want me, I'm here for you, baby.
Oh, what a fun episode. That's going to be it for today's show. Thanks so much for joining me. Make sure you check out the events page at venuscuckoldress.com. Keep an eye out for the live Pillow Talk event that's going to be coming up with Pagan and guests to talk about that very, very sexy ceremony that they had. So check it out, venuscuckoldress.com. It's the events page. You can also book a private chat with me on venuscuckoldress.com. You can subscribe to the show. You can even submit a question for the show. There's lots you can check out on venuscuckoldress.com. Don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you love the show, I would be so appreciative of that. And of course, don't forget to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @cuckoldressv. That's going to be it for this time. We'll see you next time. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, then you know I've talked about a really, really amazing sexual activity other than cuckolding, and it's called sensual massage. Now, I've received this a few times, and it is fucking mind-blowing. I'm a huge fan, but there just hasn't been any kind of place for guys to learn how to do it, not that I knew of anyway. Until now, I came across this video, this sensual massage video that is on xoafterglow.com, which is a pretty cool site. It is porn that is meant to be real, educational, entertaining, of course, but really cool, made by women. And lots of different kinds of porn as well. So I found this video on there and I was like, oh my God, yay. It's really hot. It's this real couple. And he's actually, in the beginning of the video, learns how to do the massage. He's obviously watching some sort of instructions. He talks to his wife about it, and she's on the massage table, and he gives her an amazing sensual massage. Now, it's not as long as I would like as far as length of time, but the video is great, and I'm so happy to see it. It's really hot. It's really sexy, and it just presses all the buttons for me. So if you want to check it out, you should go to exoafterglow.com. And right now, if you enter the code Venus, you can actually get 1 week of free access to it, a free trial. So that's exoafterglow.com. Enter the code Venus. And the link for that, if you are not going to be able to remember, is in the show notes for today. Enjoy!